the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
What's up, everybody? I promise you all a Periscope, and here we are. It is the Midwest Swing live Periscope and simulcast coming at you here on a Sunday evening. Stanley Cup is now over. Pittsburgh Penguins have repeated. We got big MLB draft stuff coming up tomorrow, and so we can talk about pretty much whatever you want, whether you want to talk MLB draft, you want to talk about bullpen stuff, you want to talk about how the Twins played on this last road trip, or what we can expect for them coming up here in the near future. We can talk about pretty much whatever you want. As a reminder, if you are on the app, and of course you probably are if you're seeing this, make sure to send questions to my Twitter. I have my app on the screen down beneath me. So if you have questions, I'd love to hear them. Feel free to send them in the app as well. I just can't promise that I will see them, but we'll give it a go either way, one way or the other. The Twins obviously selecting first. Tomorrow evening, I will be at Target Field to cover that, and so Tom will have coverage of the game. I do believe it's a rematch of Adalberto Mejia and Giovanni Gallardo as the Mariners come to town. T-Craft wants to know, what is the biggest reason they pass on Hunter Green? And that's actually been a spirited debate on my Twitter account here for a few days. And if they do pass on Hunter Green, it will be because I believe the risk outweighs the benefit. Now, is that, well, okay, maybe not outweighs the benefit, but outweighs the risk-to-benefit ratio for whoever else they pick, whether it's Royce Lewis, Mackenzie Gore, Brendan McKay, or Kyle Wright. I think all five of those guys have to be in the mix as far as the number one pick. I think I believe them when they haven't necessarily honed in on a number one selection. You've seen mocks come out in recent days saying Brendan McKay. You've seen some saying Kyle Wright. You have not seen much steam for anybody else that anybody is willing to put their name on. So to that end, it makes me wonder a little bit if they've honed in on that. But the other thing too is that this is the first draft with the new brain trust, and so it's hard to know whose sources are whose sources know what, or whose sources can tell you what that's reliable information at this point. So you know, with Hunter Green, with respect to Hunter Green, for me, it boils down to a few things. You need to keep him healthy for 4 years to get him to the big leagues. I suspect 17-year-old is probably going to take probably 4 years to get him to the big leagues. That's, even though it seems like a long time, means you probably still get him to the big leagues at the age of 21. Also, you need him to stay healthy. So you need 4 years for him to stay healthy. You need him to develop secondary stuff. That's not to say that he can't. But you know, he's not going to throw 102 forever. You do need to have a breaking ball that is a reliable second pitch. You have to also hope that he hits the ground running. And, you know, it's just, there's a lot of things that have to go right developmentally to line him up to get him to the big leagues in one piece. That's assuming, too, that his stuff doesn't decline or anything like that. Because if you're drafting him on the basis of him throwing 100 and whatever miles per hour, know that by the time he gets to the big leagues, he may not even be throwing that hard anymore. So, what's important to note is that if he does, in fact, have the highest ceiling, he does also probably have the lowest floor of the guys in the mix. Keeping in mind, maybe Mackenzie Gore is also on a low floor due to where he's coming from. But when you take a position player such as Royce Lewis, you know, just a little less risk with position players, especially a guy like him who, if he doesn't stick in the middle infield, seems to be likely to go to center field and still be able to help them there. So, I don't know. I've never felt better about Hunter Green, the player, than I have now based on the reports that came out of Target Field here when he visited the other day. But with that said, I still don't think he's all that likely to be the pick. Again, I keep seeing questions pop up in the chat. If I'm in the middle of a rant, it's going to be hard for me to switch gears. So please, please, please send them to me on Twitter @Brandon_Warren. And you know, I'd be happy to answer them there. For instance, Jordanimal, my good friend Jordan, says he doesn't pay attention to top Twins prospects. He doesn't pay attention to Twins prospects. Is Cole Stewart still a top prospect? And I know that the last time I looked at Cole Stewart's numbers, they were not pretty. Now we're going to take a look here as well. Yikes. 5.62 ERA, more walks than strikeouts. And actually, now that I think about it, he was at Double-A Chattanooga and had better numbers last year. I believe he's on the shelf. I think he's battling, I want to say a shoulder injury, but I'm not sure about that. Yeah, he hasn't pitched in over a month. So I believe you're looking at, I believe it's a shoulder injury, but I don't know that it's how serious it is. Obviously, that he's missed a month is not good, but that he pitched so poorly this year with an injury, to me, suggests that maybe he's not as bad as the numbers look, which, you know, obviously, knock on wood, let's hope so, because those numbers are really, really bad. Matt Liefeld says, wouldn't McKay be a safe bet if he fails as a pitcher, could turn him into a first baseman? I don't know how much I buy that argument, and I'll tell you why. Because however much time you spend trying to turn that player into whoever you want them, they're losing development time doing the other thing. And I'm just not sure that you're going to try to develop a two-way player with the first overall pick. I just think there's too much risk in messing with their development. If you're going to spend a number one overall pick, you have to have a very clear vision of where you want them to be in X number of years. For a college player like McKay, I think you're talking 2 to 3 years. You want him in the big leagues and performing and already acclimated, whereas with Green, it's 3 to 5, you know, inside the five-year window for Rule 5, adding him to the 40-man roster and all that stuff. So I don't think that you really mitigate the risk by taking a two-way player. I did see some more prospect intelligent people say the same thing, in that you can risk a two-way player in the 8th round or the 10th round or whatever. And so I don't think you take that risk with the number one overall pick. If you think McKay's a good enough pitcher, boom, do it. That's fine. But if you don't, if you don't think Green can help you as a, or excuse me, McKay can help you as a pitcher from the number one spot, you don't draft him because there's a fallback. That to me is foolish. So Ryan Lund wants to know, when do you bring up bullpen arms from the minors or trade for them? These games that are losing late could hurt their divisional odds. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that today. You obviously saw the tweet storm that I had. Fortunately, knock on wood, I didn't lose too many followers for that one. But I kind of had a stream of consciousness about this bullpen. And the issue is, when you have an 8-man bullpen like the Twins do, you've got 4 guys that you don't or cannot trust in the late innings with Belisle, Breslow, who am I missing here? Wimmers and Heston. Then you've got the 5th guy who is your closer, Kinsler. You're not throwing him in the 7th inning. So, for instance, when they got in hot water in the 7th inning, then you're down to Rogers, who is basically a glorified specialist. Duffy, who's been working quite a bit lately. He's already up over 30 innings. And then you've got, who am I missing here? Boshears, who had already pitched. Now, it's easy to say that Boshears should have stayed in the game, but keep in mind, I've been taking a lot of crap for my love for Buddy Boshears here in the last few weeks. So it's kind of funny to me that all of a sudden, since Buddy Boshears comes out of the game after 10 pitches or whatever, people are saying, well, wait, why didn't you keep Buddy Boshears in the game? Like, well, hang on. So is Buddy Boshears good? Is Buddy Boshears not as bad as Matt Belisle? Is he, you know, what is he? To me, he should have more trust from Paul Molitor than Belisle. Belisle already has allowed more earned runs this year than his last 2 years combined in nearly 80 innings. Is the DFA far from the table for Matt Belisle? At this point, I have to feel like there's got to be some kind of, something's got to give. Excuse me, not necessarily DFA, but as far as disabled list, some kind of thing to change him up. Because I just don't think that right now Matt Belisle is really helping this team with anything, really. I mean, his struggles have been confined to small innings limits, or innings restrictions, whatever you want to say. They've gotten some good innings out of Matt Belisle this year, but the good does not outweigh the bad. The bad has been so bad that you really do have to, I think, move on. I think, frankly, you could do a wide sweeping four out, four in, and you could drop Breslow, you could drop Belisle, you could drop Wimmers, and you could drop Heston. In the same fell swoop, you could bring up Hildenberger, you could bring up Bucinich, you could bring up Melitakis, and you could bring up John Curtis. And frankly, I think your bullpen at that point is probably better than it is right now. Again, I understand the risk, but if you've got four or five guys on a freaking eight-man bullpen that you can't trust to throw big innings, what's the point? Whatever trust they have in Belisle, it has to be waning significantly. It's going to be almost shot. They don't trust Breslow to throw any big innings, and today he just got pasted. Again, I think I like what Breslow brings mentally, but I don't know that there's enough value in that he can be kept on the roster with the current construction of the bullpen. If Breslow is one of those four guys, and you've got at least two other guys who can help you, that's fine. But I don't think you can have one Breslow, one Belisle, plus Heston and Wimmers, who cannot be trusted in situations like there were people asking me, why didn't Wimmers come in when Belisle was struggling? It's like, Alex Wimmers is not that kind of pitcher. Wimmers is the mop-up guy. And in fact, if you're going to keep one of those guys, it should be Heston or Wimmers, somebody who can come in and give you three, four, five innings if they need to. And then you can lean on Duffy if you have to. And so I don't think that they're really doing themselves any favors by having a bullpen with now eight guys when they don't trust any of them outside of Tyler Duffy, who literally can't pitch anymore. I mean, I think he's on pace for like 88 innings right now, and that's just not going to fly. So I don't know. Thomas Kraft wants to know, do other teams deal with this much trouble in their bullpens? I guess I kind of touched on that with the rant. Thanks. I saw Doubles say, good quality bullpen rant. Thank you. That was not rehearsed. It would have been obviously much more clunky if that was rehearsed, because for whatever reason, when I'm riffing, it actually goes better off the top of my head than it does if I'm reading off a script. Teams deal with a lot of stuff with their bullpens. When you look at that Mariners bullpen that the Twins just left, all those guys throw gas but have no control. I just think that the bullpens are such a precarious beast. You look at how they're constructed, and good point by Grant Spears. The Nationals bullpen is just screwy. The best relievers are usually not purchased. You can go out and get an Aroldis Chapman. You can go out and get a Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen off to one of the greatest starts we've ever seen from any reliever, frankly. But if you build a bullpen around $7 or $8 million guys, it doesn't make any sense. And in fact, Mike Berardino, who will be on this Tuesday's episode of Midwest Swing to break down the MLB draft and whatever else is going on in the Mariners series and with your Twins, what he said was, even the Dodgers, look at the Dodgers, who can literally afford anybody. They're always looking for whatever kind of fixes they can find in their bullpen. I mean, who took a flyer on Casey Fien after the Twins thought Casey Fien was done? I mean, there's been a lot of teams now. It's been the Dodgers. It's been the Mariners. It's been the Phillies. It's been, he just got called up to the Phillies, I think, 2-3 days ago. So that's the Twins' scraps. Someone is taking the Twins' scraps. So if you think the Twins' bullpen is bad, there are still scraps from the Twins being picked up. Pat White just got designated for assignment by the Pirates. He was the Twins' scraps. So, you know, bullpens are weird, though. Like, you have failed starters. You got Tyler Duffy. And I wouldn't say Duffy's a failed starter as much as he's just a better fit in the bullpen. And last year was obviously bad. But we've already seen the pratfalls of drafting bullpen guys. The draft where the Twins, I think it was 2012, the Twins took all those relievers, whether it was Nick Birdie. Actually, I don't think it was 2012. Maybe it was 13. But it was like Nick Birdie and John Curtis and Mason Melitakis and Jake Reed. None of those guys have pitched in the big leagues yet. The idea was, if your draft picks are going to be unstable, draft relievers, because they should at least move fast. You know, the Twins had Jesse Crane, who they drafted, I think it was out of Texas, moved quickly, was in the big leagues rather quickly. Houston Street was a stud reliever in college and got drafted and moved to the big leagues quickly. Well, how did that pan out? The problem is, Luke Bard, Nick Tuttle is also mentioned. The plan for a bullpen kind of boils down to finding cheap arms and throwing whatever works at the wall and hoping it pans out. The best closers in Twins history, Eddie Gordado, failed starter. Joe Nathan, failed shortstop, failed starter. Decent middle reliever, great closer. Rick Aguilera was a starter in the Mets system and then actually started with the Twins towards the end again after they, I believe it was after they traded him to the Red Sox and he came back. Even LaTroy Hawkins, you know, was a starter to begin with. Some of the best relievers were guys that, Glenn Perkins, failed starter. It's a situation where, it's all these guys that were starters that, just didn't have it. And so the idea that the Twins need to go out and trade legitimate pieces for relievers, I don't like it. And the example that I have invoked a few times now is the Brewers trading Tyler Thornburg to the Red Sox. He hasn't even pitched for them this year. And they got Mauricio Dubon, and they got Travis Shaw, and they got some other parts, too. And now the Red Sox traded for Carson Smith. They've gotten virtually nothing out of him. And now they're scouting Mike Minor. What could go wrong? You're scouting a lefty whose entire career has been waylaid by arm issues. Oh, and by the way, now he's throwing a ton of innings for the Royals in the bullpen. High stress, you know, guy throwing gas after his arm was barely hanging on. Wow, you know, what could go wrong there? And again, I know that they have the ability to make those trades. The Twins don't. The Twins, if you're trying to make a trade as the Twins to add relievers, teams are going to ask you about the Nick Gordons, the Fernando Romeros, the Steven Gonsalveses. Those are the caliber of prospects that like Travis Shaw, Mauricio Dubon are in the Twins system, in my estimation. And I'm not a prospect guy, but I just think that it doesn't make sense for the Twins to gut their farm system to get, I don't even know who people want. Pat Neshek, I don't know if he makes a ton of sense. I wouldn't mind Pat Neshek if they traded Daniel Palka for him, but I'm not trading a player with potential. Somebody else told me they thought maybe, I'm trying to remember who the AA guy was that came up the other day and made a start for AAA. I reported it. The name's escaping me. But if you could trade an organizational guy and get a guy like Pat Neshek, sure, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But I'm not going out and trading a ton of pieces or parts to fill a bullpen when you've already got so many interesting arms. Somebody else was mentioning JT Chagua here in the chat, too. When is he going to come back? Once he comes back, too, he's another name you have to look at. Ryan Pressly has been very, very good down at Rochester, I believe Mike Berardino was saying today. His, what would you call it, an exodus or his banishment to AAA could be short. Keep in mind, I mean, for as much as people dog on Pressly, he's still way better than Matt Belisle when all things are going well. If he can command that fastball, there's no doubt in my mind he could come up and help this bullpen out. And honestly, I think the bullpen would be better constructed if they could move Kinsler to the middle to put out fires. You know, like when Belisle was struggling today and you got runners on first and second or whatever it is, one out, zero outs, that's when you bring Kinsler in to roll a double play and then get another grounder, and he gets you out of those messes. The issue I have with him closing, and it's not because he hasn't done a good job, was when a guy like Kinsler starts fires, then putting them out becomes more difficult. Because, you know, if you're already in that mode of starting the fire, you obviously don't have your best stuff, or, you know, whatever cosmic force is causing you to be poor that day, it's very hard to reverse that in the moment. And so, it's not because I don't like Brandon Kinsler as a guy, as a person. His dad tweets me every now and then and all that whatever stuff. And I don't want to hurt his free agent value, especially his free agency after this year. I just think with someone like Pressly in the back end, Duffy who can work all over, Kinsler who can put out fires, that might be your best bet. You got Taylor Rogers that can get lefties out. And then you start mixing and matching with some of the young kids, whether it's Hildenberger, Chagua, Melitakis. Get some of these kids up. I say about teams, if you're not going to be good, you should at least be young or exciting. When the Twins have been bad in recent years, it's not bad and young and exciting. They've been bad. They've been old. Mike Palfrey's, the Kevin Correas, and all that. If the bullpen can be young, I think you just need to give it a shot. And You know, if you do that now, you have enough time. You have 6 weeks before the trade deadline that you can assess if you want to supplement with a Pat Neshek, or if you really do feel the need to go big for whatever dumb reason that might be. I don't believe they have to, and don't get me wrong. But if they want to trade for, you know, Corey Knebel, that's a name I keep hearing a lot, or whatever. Again, I don't think that's the right idea. But you give yourself 6 weeks of looks at these kids, and who knows? Maybe you go from there. Matt Liefeld wants to know, who gets the axe when they bring back Polanco? I don't have any insight on Polanco, except that I think it makes sense for him to meet the Twins here in Minneapolis, maybe even tomorrow. So we'll see if he's in the clubhouse when we get there. And, you know, if he is, I suspect... I thought they would use up one of the long guys today, whether it was Heston or Wimmers, and send them out. I still think Vargas sticks. But it's possible that they send... I think it's possible that they send it back. Excuse me, send Vargas back if he's not going to play that much. But it's difficult to get a read on Vargas' playing time since they were just playing in a National League city. So, you know, he played over Maurer one game and they subbed him out about halfway through. So I think Vargas should still get some run, especially as a bench thumper. I don't think he's got anything left to prove at AAA. I think Byung-ho Park hit a home run the other day, but he's still struggling. And so, I got in an argument with a good friend, Travis Oney, was talking about how the bullpen can give up runs and you subtract from it. Having having eight arms didn't prevent today. It's just a matter of having the best quality arms instead of quantity arms. And if you need to cover up a bad start, you know, maybe you piece it together, maybe you go get somebody the next day. I don't know. I don't think they need 13 pitchers or whatever it is. Yeah, eight relievers, five starters. I just don't think they need that. So, I don't know. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I guess that's all I have for tonight. We didn't talk too much draft, but I think we're running low on time here. And so maybe I'll come hang out tomorrow night. We can talk about the Twins' first three picks. And, you know, knock on wood, they should be hopefully something good. My dream list, before I let you guys go, is whoever they take at number one, I'll probably be fine with it. I would like to see them take Sam Carlson with the second pick and Brent Rooker with the third. I don't think that's possible. And in fact, somebody was tweeting me that the budgets probably wouldn't work or the bonuses, and I get that. I just, pie in the sky or whatever. That's what I'd like to see. Get three impact prospects that can help you. You know, at some point in the future, and with Rooker, hopefully in the near future, you know, maybe you can get lightning in a bottle and get a masher that can come up and help you in the near future. All right. Thanks for checking out the Midwest Swing podcast and simulcast. When we do these, we're going to call them Midwest Swing Live. We'll do the full length podcast with Mike Berardino this week. Thanks for checking us out. Peace.